Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
I understood him giving the discipline, and these children of God here are not understanding. They've just gotten so far away from him, they just think they're being pounded on, and they don't even know who God is anymore to even cry out to him. What Jeremiah is doing here.
All right, so in verse 18, I kind of caught something interesting in this. All right, well, unfold it for me. You may have known this beforehand. All right, and now what does Israel have to do in the way of Egypt? All right, so they're saying the Egyptian ways, all right, yep. To drink the waters of Seor, which yep. would be saying that you were practicing towards their one god, Seor, or whatever it may be. All right, so you're learning that way.
Right.
Or the way of the Assyrians. You're learning their ways. And so you're saying that you're drinking waters from two yeah. cisterns that yeah. have nothing to do with the living yeah. waters.
Two different gods.
Right, so yeah. it's two different religions it's talking about right there.
You have replaced me, and you don't even have a single one. You have many.
Right.
Yeah, very
right.
good catch. Verse 20, for the old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou sayest, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot, I have bailed you guys out time and time and time again, God said, and you promised every time to be faithful, and you just couldn't do it. There's something about this flesh that's very difficult to control. And this is aimed at you, Christian. The more you feed this flesh, the harder it is to control, okay? I'm not just talking about feeding it bad things. I'm talking about overfeeding it food. That fried chicken, you know, you're carrying around 20, 30 extra pounds. Your spirit man's about half asleep, because calories equal spiritual sleepiness. The body needs just enough. And this Bible teaches that. Everything in moderation. Don't overeat. You overeat, your spiritual life will begin to slip. And you're overeating, your spiritual life is slipping, and then other things are slipping in. Too much alcohol, too much lust, too much desires for all the pleasures of life. And God says you can have a lot of those pleasures of life. He didn't say he wants you to live a mundane life and wear black coats and black shoes and walk straight down the road when you go. He says you can have a good time, but keep all things in moderation. Mm-hmm. Verse 21, yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? I made you holy and you turned evil. How did you do that? Can we take that all the way back to the fact that when they came into Canaan out of Egypt, God says, wipe the land clean of all the inhabitants because they have the seed of the serpent in them, and I want you to remain pure. And they didn't do it. One of their many, many disobedient acts, and that is the only sin in this Bible, disobedience to God. They said, oh, yeah, we'll get rid of all of them. And then Judah says, oh, you know, these guys would make good servants, Jonathan.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
we're going to keep some of them.
Yeah.
And now the other tribe says, well, why should they get to keep some? We yeah. want servants too.
Yeah.
We won't have babies with them.
Yeah,
we don't even like their kind.
Yeah.
Although some of them are quite cute. And you know where that went? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Before
mm-hmm.
long, we're all mixed
yep.
with the seed of the serpent.
Yep.
But God says, I planted thee a noble vine. And you go back to episode 1, you'll understand that. There were two accounts of creation of man. One on the sixth day, God said, I created the male and female, told them to replenish the earth, which backs up Jeremiah's account in coming up here in verse 3 about how there was mankind here before. And he flooded it, and he put the sun out. Go and replenish the earth. And then sometime after the seventh day, God says, oh, there is no man to till my beautiful place, my garden, his temple here on earth. Wait a minute, God, I thought you made men on the sixth day. Yes, but I need a noble man, a priest, never meant to procreate. He says, I made them male and female and called their name Adam, all one being. their name Adam. And later, he didn't only take a rib. You take that back to the Hebrew, it says one half of the being. He took one half and made Eve. So there's a whole lot more in this Bible than you've heard in your church. But there, he says, now, although I made you holy, you have been mixed with a strange seed. For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before thee, saith the Lord God. And what you got on you, you cannot wash off. And he's referencing the Levitical law there. It's inside you now. Mm-hmm. It's nothing you're doing with your hands to make you unholy. You can't wash it off.
Nope.
It's not going to come off, okay? So how canst thou say I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Now what thou hast done, thou art a swift dromedary transversing her ways. There's so much in verse 23. Let's look at them. So God said, how canst thou say, I am not polluted? Because they all still have their religious garments on. They got that Jesus team bowling jacket on.
Mm-hmm.
And they all still go by the synagogue occasionally.
Enough cologne to choke a horse.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Drop off their tithes and pat each other on the back. Say, oh, nice in the synagogue today. They had the air conditioning just right today. How'd you like that fried chicken we had afterwards?
It was good. We could have more, though.
Yeah. How can you say you're not polluted? It's inside you. That religious gobbledygook that you spout every week. Your leisure suit means nothing. I've not gone after Balaam. Oh, yeah. So we're not serving Balaam. But you're serving nobody, and especially not me. Mm-hmm. Bible says if you're either for me or against me, there is no medium ground. See thy way in the valley. Know that thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary transversing her ways. You are unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And go in whatever direction you want to go, regardless of how I tried to point you.
It makes me think of Balaam from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because of the way that he kept asking and kept asking and kept asking. And God finally was just like, you know what? Just go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
These people are saying, oh, we've never done that to you before.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you're telling me that you haven't, but clearly you're showing me that
you
haven't.
I've not gone after Balaam. Yeah. I've not gone in it for money.
Right.
But they have.
Right.
We know that. We've seen that, right?
Yep.
Levites love money. Televangelists. Verse 24, a wild ass used in the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her mouth they shall find her. We're going to read that one more time. Verse 24, a wild ass used in the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. Sounds like an uncontrolled person. Mm-hmm. That has no morality. Not even the right to breathe, but does. And you know what? If God made you for his pleasure, and you don't bring him pleasure, Christian, you don't have the right to breathe. You're still breathing by his grace and mercy. Up the wind at her pleasure, in her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her mouth they shall find her. Deals with some sexual allurance there. Whatever you go looking for, you're going to find. And it's very covertly written. Verse 25, withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat from thirst. But thou sayest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers and after them will I go. Verse 25, withhold thy foot from being unshod. Keep your shoes on and thy throat from thirst. Drink plenty of water. But thou sayest, there is no hope. No. For I have loved strangers, and after them will I go.
Hmm. And kind of in my mind there, is he saying that I provided you with coverings for your feet, and you've never had to thirst,
but yet
you're still going after these other people?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, I provided for you. And he said that a few verses back in other words. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. What did I do? God said.
Right.
Yeah. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying, to a stock thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they shall arise. They will say, arise and save us. Yeah. How many times, Christian, do you wait till you're stuck in the ditch, lying face first down, spiritually, and then all of a sudden you remember God? Oh, yes. God, where have you been?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I've been here the whole time. Where have you been?
Yeah.
That's what Israel is going to do, he says. But where are thy gods that thou hast made? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wow. They have a lot of gods. God says, all right, when the evil comes, get that old stone pillar, that old stone statue out here and see if it can save you.
Mm-hmm. I like how he reflected that Elijah spirit right there, where he says, well, let them arise if you can be saved.
Yeah, if they can do it. Yeah.
How Elijah's like, well, maybe he's asleep.
Yeah, maybe he's relieving himself. Yeah. He had a lot of fun with it that day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. That reminds me of that televangelist. I forget his name. He's telling people, they are gods. Yes. This is, you join this, it's a prosperity religion.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be gods. It's, what these people here are saying, we are lords.
It sounds like the original temptation.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was Lucifer's. I will ascend up my throne and be like the Almighty.
Mm-hmm. He tried that with Eve, too. That was part of his speech.
Yep. Yeah.
You eat this, you'll become
be just
like
him. You're right. Yeah, I was thinking
but still,
a couple million years past that.
still, they both coincide.
They're the same.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. You're right. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me. Days without number, God said, the whole theme for this chapter. You don't know who I am. After all that I've done for you, Christian, you don't know who I am. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Question mark. Why do you adjust your ways to seek love? That's not how spirituality works.
Mm-hmm.
You don't adjust your ways to find God. You adopt God's ways to find God. Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. So, it's a generational thing. We just adjust ourselves to this religion that we like.
Mm-hmm.
We used to know who the God was that we worship, but now it's just a form of religion. And let's teach our children the same one because it feels good. We drive to church on Sunday. We spend exactly a half hour in Sunday school and exactly 45 minutes in church. And then we're let out and we go eat fried chicken. And it works for me, work for Grandpa, work for Great-Grandpa too. Same church. In fact, they're both buried right next door to the church. Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
God wants a spiritual relationship with you. Don't teach your children religion. Teach them who God is, what God is, the original covenant that Christ restored. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Verse 34, also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. And I do believe that is reference to the fact that you come into this world innocent as a child, and if your parents do not instruct you in the ways of the Lord, you have to find it on your own. And it's very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Yeah, how many people, I've talked to so many. I'm a good person.
Yeah.
And they're innocent in their mind. Mm-hmm. And they are good people.
Right.
I mean, they're not axe murderers. They're not robbers. I don't think they lie.
Right.
Yeah, according to the world's standards, they're good people. But according to God's standards, we're all sinful and fall short of the glory of God. And any sin, I don't care how big or how small, is equivalent to keeping you separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
All the way from picking up, you go back to Leviticus, scoop up a handful of dirt, and there's a dead ant in there, and you didn't even know it. You're unclean now.
7 days.
Yes. Murder someone.
Yeah.
Sin is a sin.
Oh, yeah, murder somebody.
Then they all make you unclean.
Yeah, you got to move to a whole nother city, and your life is over.
But in God's absolute perfection, the smallest one will keep you as separate from him as the largest one. So these people, yes, I'm a good person. I'm not sinful. Yes, you are. Even though you're not a big sinner, we're all sinful and fall short of the glory of God just by the procreation of your parents. You come into this life sinful already. You got to understand God has rules and laws. And he wants to put those rules and laws behind you. But until you find him and accept Christ, those rules and laws will dictate your life and your death and your incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants to put that behind you. He wants, through the blood of Christ, the law can be set aside. Christ was never under the law. Oh, he fulfilled the law. Yeah, he did. He went through the motions. But he was under the first covenant given to Abraham, the everlasting covenant. Follow me with all your heart. He followed his father with all of his heart. Why else could he work on the Sabbath and not be considered sinful? Have you ever thought about that, Pastor, when you're trying to preach this sermon? I know, that's a sticking part that you try to stay away from. Christ was never under the law. Had he been, he would not have been sinless. He could not have been made the sacrifice because he worked on the Sabbath many times. Verse 36, why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Ah, yeah. You're going to be ashamed when you realize what you have forsaken in me, God says. And then you're also going to be ashamed that you worship these gods of Egypt and Assyria, like Jonathan was saying a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we were actually worshiping that lump of stone?
Right.
That's like, you remember that story, comes out of Book of Jubilees, I think, where before Abraham got on his quest, he was at his father's house. His father had a whole room full of gods.
Mm-hmm.
Wooden gods, all different sizes. And Abraham goes in one day. His father's at work. He's like a court administrator for, what's his name? The one who stole Adam's garments. Oh, man, his name is eluding me. It doesn't matter. But he's in his dad's house. He goes into the god room. And he calls his mom, says, make some tasty meat. She makes him some tasty meat. And he brings it in there. He sets it in front of him all day long. He watches them. And they don't eat it. So he does this thing, same thing again the next day. Make me some more tasty meat. Make it really tasty this time. The best you can make, Mom. Takes it in there and sets it in front of them. At the end of the day, he decides, these are inanimate wooden objects.
Mm-hmm.
There's no power in them. He takes a hatchet and he chops all of them up, except for the large one. And he puts the hatchet in front of the large one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And his dad comes home. Hello, I'm home from work. Going to go in and visit my gods for a moment. Goes into the gods room, and they're all chopped in pieces, except for the big one. And he knows that something to do with Abraham.
Abram?
Get in here. What have you done? He says, I didn't do anything, Father. He says, I brought some tasty meat in for your gods. And I set them down, and all the little gods rushed at the meat before the big god had a chance to eat first. And he got angry and chopped them all into pieces. And Abraham's dad says, that's impossible. They're made of wood. And Abraham says, exactly. Why would you worship them?
Yep.
That's what God's saying here. When you finally come to your senses, you'll realize you're worshiping a chunk of wood or a chunk of stone. Mm-hmm. Verse 37, yea, thou shalt go forth from him and thine hands upon thine head. For the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Continue down that way, Christian, and you will have nothing from me, says God.
And I see, like, absolute disparity because of them worshiping those gods that way, then coming to the realization that they were false, and I'm just, oh, my God, what did I do? Like, the hands on the head, you know?
Yep, exactly. And when they come out of Babylon, God says, I will have no further use for you other than to bring forth a body for my child to dwell in. Been a good ride here with you in Jeremiah, and please be with us here tomorrow because chapter 3 of Jeremiah is the beginning of the Bible, believe it or not. Here on WVFF 97.7 and David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.